Welcome to Collaborating, the podcast series of the Collaborative for Business Development. And welcome back to Collaborating, the podcast that focuses on all things revenue, the best and next practices in sales, marketing, and eliminating organizational obstacles to that success. Today we're talking about the territory plan, and we're calling this the rudder of the salesperson's ship because have you ever heard that old adage, to a ship without a rudder, any port is home? It is true, and it's something that many salespeople do without, but we'll try to persuade you today that you should do with. Taking the time to be specific about your sales goals and objectives and writing a clear plan about them and how you'll reach them certainly increases your chances of meeting and exceeding those goals. All the research shows that putting a plan on paper in writing increases your probability of achieving goals. And I can certainly attest from my own experience that in those years as a salesperson that I gave this process short shrift, I really do feel that I didn't do as well in those years as other years when I did use a plan. But like any good roadmap, it should show you all the detours and the dangers ahead and show you the right routes to take as well. The beginning of a new year always ramps up that discussion of New Year's resolutions, also known as goal setting for the upcoming year. It may not be the beginning of a new year as you're listening to this, but it certainly is never too late if your sales aren't where they need to be to get the selling train back on track or the selling ship back towards that right port and harbor. We often hear from sales execs and others when we're teaching just general time management that all this planning is a waste of time because then real life enters in, like a client emergency, unscheduled meetings, or my boss, and I can't get any of this done anyway. Now, we do recognize this problem, but there are ways to keep yourself on track while managing others' attempts to claim your time. At the Collaborative, we have and teach what we call personal management, and this encompasses all of the components necessary to being the best salesperson you can be, certainly territory, but also time and how to manage yourself when claims on your time are chipped away at by others. But today, for this discussion, this podcast, that's really too much to get into. So we're going to keep the focus on territory management. Maybe in a subsequent cast, we'll get into these other components that we call personal management. What are the seven components of the territory plan? They are, and we'll go into some detail on each one. First off, market analysis, industry trends, and competition. Secondly, product analysis. That is taking a good hard look at your products and services, determining where are their strengths and weaknesses and how should you respond to the market when you get objections about those typically weaknesses. What's your present situation? Where do you sit right now vis-a-vis all of your objective and certainly subjective goals as well? Fourth, what are your goals and priorities? So what are the what's the quota that's come down from above, and what are your own goals? Maybe you have some stretch goals. Fifth, your sales strategy. How are you thinking about your marketplace and what you're going to do to be successful? Sixth, your resources. What do you need from management, from your company, from your peers, you know, whatever group it is that might support you in your selling activities? And then seventh, a cost-benefit analysis or revenue optimization, we call it. Now, I will caveat this by saying at the outset that not every one of these components is going to be possibly useful or valid for every firm out there. And given that salespeople, and certainly since I've been one and I've managed them, are very low on what we call on the behavioral scale, the compliance scale, that is, they don't like entering data into CRMs. They don't like writing down a lot of things that just have to go to management and that kind of thing, that to actually take the time to write a territory management plan can feel like a very onerous task and something that not everyone's going to want to do. So we do recognize that. All we can say is that for those firms we've worked with where they do this and they do have everyone participate to some degree, I mean, there's going to be different quality, obviously, of different ones that are finally done and presented and turned in, that we do see greater success. So we'll just put that out there. But again, as you listen to this, pick and choose the components or the ideas or the nuggets that may apply to your firm. I'll just put out a thought about personal management. Not going to get into that today, as I said, but here's some questions you should ask yourself. And if you don't like the answers, try to come up with solutions and then sit down with your boss to get his or her help. First, just think about and brainstorm some answers. What works well for you with your own time and territory management? Second, what bottlenecks or frustrations do you currently experience with your own personal/time management? And third, do you feel you're managing your territory as efficiently and completely as possible? And if not, why not? So with that as an overlay, and we're not going to get into a lot of thoughts about how to specifically address those questions, those might be some things you think about. And again, have a discussion with your boss if you're not liking your answers. So let's dive into the guts of territory management. Managing a sales territory is much like managing your own business. It requires thoughtful planning and consideration. So the first step is to think about your goals. What do you want to accomplish and what do you need to do to get there? The next important step is putting your territory management plan, as I've said, in writing, just like any business would have a business plan, hopefully, in writing. So again, we're going to talk about the seven elements to consider in developing a strong territory management plan. I will say that there is an eighth, and you can start off your written document with this, which is generally, you know, what you would call an executive summary, but I'll come to that. Because territory management planning is an individual process, this list is not exhaustive and should be added to or changed where appropriate for the individual sales rep and company. But here's a basic structure to a plan and why these elements could be important. And again, I repeat, I say could be because for some businesses or cultures, some of this may be overkill. But for others, it will be spot on. I'll put it out there. You decide. And so again, if you're writing this and presenting it, you'll want to have, especially if it does become a formal process of your planning process and it goes up the chain, you'll want to have an executive summary. And this would just serve as a synopsis of the entire plan. But identify where you are now, where you need to be for success. It's usually written last after all the other elements, the seven that I'm really going to focus on, are considered. And generally, you're answering, where are you now? Where are you going? What are the areas, both for you as a professional and for the company you represent, that you'll need to focus on in order to be successful? This can even serve as a career planning guide, allowing the rep to convey his or her own career goals by talking about some of the developmental needs that he or she thinks need to be there. So what's point number one? Point number one of the plan is taking a look at a market analysis, industry trends, and your competition. Looking at the external market. Who are the prospects you're targeting for each product or service? Ask questions such as, who is your target customer, and which products and services do you expect to be the best fit for them? What do your target customers expect from you in terms of solutions to their problems? How do they want to be sold to? Think about the buying cycle, the buying process, as opposed to the focus on you and selling cycle. Where are these targets geographically and in their buying cycle? Think about what's happening in the market overall. What are the trends, obstacles, changes to prospects and customers, their businesses? What do you see happening in the industry that you're in? What are the major business drivers? Is the industry growing or contracting? Just generally, think about this very expansively. What is happening in your market? Who are the major competitors and why are they successful? And hopefully you have a marketing department that is being very helpful in looking at and gathering information about your competitors, or it could be product management, could be some group that is gathering information about your competitors. But you definitely need to know what their strengths and weaknesses are. Secondly, do a product analysis. Again, many salespeople don't take the time to consider the products and services that they are selling in much detail. This section asks you to think about your own products and services. How are they unique? What features and benefits do they provide? Don't just depend on the written material, the collateral you already have. The great thing about doing a territory plan, especially if the sales manager leads you all through a discussion in a sales meeting or a retreat or whatever, is that you have a lot of different ideas coming out from everybody on the sales team. And this can really be beneficial to surfacing, for instance, new features and benefits that you're now hearing that you can add or have marketing add to the collateral. So after looking at your products and services and their benefits, are there other prospects who could benefit that you haven't identified heretofore and that could now take advantage of your products? Look at the weaknesses. Where are the products and services lagging against the competitors? Think as a group. What objections are we all coming up against? And let's catalog them and come up with reasonable responses. And or let's work on the products and services and get them fixed to meet those objections. What other kinds of obstacles can you expect to encounter when selling against a competitor? Where's your product in its life cycle, and how does that affect your sales approach? Again, over time, that's going to shift, and you're going to have to be cognizant of that and stay ahead of that life cycle curve as you both develop your products and think about your selling and marketing approach. So third, take a look at your present situation. So in order to accomplish goals, it's imperative to establish what is your current state. You need to be able to clearly state where are you now against your quota and your own goals. Who are your current customers? List the top 10 prospects in your territory. Identify the recent interactions and the general status, including your current opportunities. So look at your pipeline, your strategy for approaching each one of these accounts. You might put together a little chart. Your manager probably has a pipeline type report that lists prospect pipeline rating, definitely have a pipeline rating system. What the last step is, what the next step is, what's your strategy for closing? Just where are you with these prospects? Include any other information that helps you take inventory of the true status of top prospects. You'll also want to look at your historic data. Estimate the following, including all activity that have earned your year-to-date sales. So you're looking at your cold calls, follow-up calls, presentations and demos. Look for relationships that tie those into your closing rate. And then think about, what are you going to do going forward? Daily, weekly, monthly, and cold calls, follow-up calls, presentations, and demos. Now, in a way, when I talk about that, I do take pause and hesitate because we're not big fans of the have certain numbers of calls per day, per week, per month, you know, and that's definitely your path to success. We've seen too many times when the emphasis from management is simply on number of calls, be they cold calls, face-to-face meetings, as opposed to the quality of those interactions. And that's really what the focus should be on. So getting back to, again, your present situation, by looking in detail at your prospects, what do you need to do next? By when? What benefits will they derive from taking an action more quickly rather than later? Importantly, what may prevent any given sale from moving forward? So what are the alarms that you need to be looking out for? What are your most favorable swing factors? If the sale starts heading in the wrong direction, what aces can we pull from our sleeve? Be they some relationship going up the chain? You know, how do you trade up relationships? How do you make people aware of different features or benefits that possibly they weren't aware of? Is there anyone else in the sales process, in the buying process rather, that should be involved that can help your case? And think about in general, again, think about with the team, how can we shorten the sales cycle? Next, number four, you're looking at goals and priorities. This is the opportunity to establish and quantify any and all goals that you need to reach in order to be successful. Think here about your own personal definition of success in addition to the numbers the company has established for you. Objectives should look at both measurable, that is quantifiable, and qualitative goals. After each goal, you should be able to list your priorities. So some of the questions to answer here include, what are the specific numeric goals, including quota, and what are any other measurable goals? How many customers do you want to have? What average deal size will you be closing? Do you want to do anything besides straight selling? So I've seen and known a lot of salespeople that have a real interest in being involved in product development to some degree. certainly giving market feedback, and every salesperson should be bringing market feedback back to marketing and product management and others in senior management. Do you yourself want to become more knowledgeable about certain aspects of your product, your service, the industry you're in, your company, etc.? And this is the opportunity to make the case for industry certifications or charters, for instance, that will give you a higher level of gravitas with those that you're selling to. I've done this myself, and it worked out very well. I've known a lot of salespeople that have. Objectives like these should be clearly stated. So in addition to being measurable, make sure that they're motivating to you, that they're realistic and reachable, and understandable both to your peers and superiors. Flexible, so you can make a midstream change if you find things aren't working out as you expected, and appropriate for your business. In other words, don't set objectives that can't be reached without breaking some rules. Even though, again, as a salesperson, you're probably more of a rule breaker than a rule adherer. This section should serve as the basis to develop your action plan. It allows you to develop the tactical steps that you can take to reach the objectives that you've outlined here. Fifth, your sales strategy. Every company and every salesperson needs to be continually thinking about ways to create awareness of your product and services. This benefits the individual salesperson because it can create additional leads, a warm response to cold calls, and in the best cases, incoming inquiries from the market. In addition, each salesperson needs to establish their own numbers in terms of cold calls, follow-ups, etc. This is the opportunity for you to identify what needs you have. So some of the questions you want to answer here are, what other methods in addition to cold calling and presentations can you think of to create awareness and demand for your product? Being specific about your sales activity goals, how many cold calls, follow-ups, and in-person presentations will you need? What skills do you need to develop to improve as a salesperson? Presentation skills, negotiation skills, cold calling. In other words, what do you need to call the collaborative about to get some sales training on? Next, and this is number 6, a cost-benefit analysis, or what we might call revenue optimization. Thinking about the business aspect of sales, you are probably not responsible directly for the expenses involved in finding business and closing sales, but as an employee of a company who likely is sensitive to costs, you need to think about the bigger picture. All salespeople need to master the art of selling internally, and thinking about these issues can greatly help with upselling and managing upward. And that's a very key thought, because so many salespeople that we've seen, we've worked with, they obviously have needs to get the job done, and they should be given a lot of latitude. But often they don't do as good a job selling internally as externally, and making the case that I need to be making trips, I need this kind of material, whatever it may be. So this is a place to really think about that and to state your case. How do you determine when to spend money to meet a prospect? How many trips are necessary? How do you justify expenses involved in obtaining a given piece of business? Are there ways to shorten the sales process, to do it over the phone, to consolidate visits, things like that? You don't need to determine specific financial figures, just think about the cost piece of the overall sales process. It's helpful here to think critically about your sales process, keeping your company and their concerns in mind. It would go a long way towards helping you get what you need, get the resources you need. And speaking of resources, that is number 7. Knowing your resources, what you have and what you need, helps you to maximize your time spent in the sales process. So what support does your company offer? What materials, literature, collateral, other things, website, what do you have and what do you need? What kind of client service efforts in place? How much time do you need to spend after the sales closed on servicing? Is the company's technology, sales tracking, and other tools up to date and easy to use? So it's in a place like a section like this on resources, which is number 7 and the final stop of our ship with a rudder heading towards port, is the resources that you need from management, that you need on a day-to-day basis, and to state your best case for getting them if they're not there, getting them fixed if they need fixing, and for helping you stay focused on the task at hand, which is selling. And this is just one idea about territory management and a territory planning process that you may want to use. Certainly, again, take the components that work for you, discard the rest, give us a call here at 888-580-9663. 9473 or email info@the-collaborative.com or my email address, mike@the-collaborative.com. In a subsequent podcast, we will talk more about personal management. And until next time, this is Mike Slemmer and the Collaborative for Business Development, Inc. saying, keep on collaborating.